Thanks so much for downloading Man Made. Just a heads up that the following episode contains some strong language and we do discuss mental health issues. If any of it strikes a chord with you and you want to find mental health support where you live or talk about your feelings, visit the Hub of Hope, www.hubofhope.co.uk, where you can find links to services across the UK.
Pete!
I'm so sorry, brother.
Mate, don't worry about it. I know how it is.
You look great. Well done, mate.
Good, yeah. Thanks for inviting me on. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for coming, brother.
So good of you.
Really enjoyed reading how you got punctuality in. I'm half an hour
late. It's fun.
How are we all?
Yeah, good.
This week on Man Made, we have Dave Berry, who is an award-winning radio broadcaster. And, well, not just radio, TV as well. He's done all sorts of stuff, Dave. He's been around for a long time. His absolute radio show gets 2 million listeners every morning. And I've got to say, he's one of the most eloquent, well-spoken men I've ever had the pleasure of sitting with. He wasn't best pleased because I was half an hour late for my own podcast. And one of Dave's main things in life is punctuality. Loves punctuality. So I fucked that one up straight away. He didn't mention it though. Just the once, twice, three times. I think four times he mentioned it during the podcast. But yeah, I really enjoyed today's one. He's got some really, really interesting points. He talks about fashion. We talk about our relationships with alcohol and just generally his kind of view on society and men. Great guy. You'll enjoy this one. Dave, when we do this podcast, we go straight in, all right? We don't mess about. Okay. So I'm going to ask you a couple of big questions.
Okay.
What's the biggest challenge facing men today?
The biggest challenge facing men today, I believe, is the hard work that needs to be done to feel at ease with what masculinity is today.
What is it that you consider a man to be? Because, I mean, I'm sure it will change. If I'd have asked you that question when you were 15, 16, what you consider a man to be to what your answer would be now, I'm sure there's probably a big difference. Mm. It certainly would have been for me.
Yeah.
But what would you consider a good man is?
I think a good man has got to be able to ask for help. One of the qualities I like about myself as a person, and this isn't just men, this is everybody, mm-hmm. But one of the qualities that I realise I have, and it's when you talk to people like yourself, Pete, on podcasts like this, or I get messages from my breakfast show or whatever from guys, you realise that is not the case. That is why there is such an onus on getting men to talk and not being afraid to ask for help. That doesn't mean I'm not proud. Mm. I'm a very proud guy. I'm a very proud man. I'm proud of my work. I'm proud of my work ethic. I'm proud of what I've achieved in life. I'm proud of my family and my circle of friends and all those things. But if I feel that I need help, and that can literally be from like saying to producer Ellie, how do I post this reel?
I always need help with that as well. Yeah. No, I'm with you on that one.
To kind of like, I'm struggling a little bit at the moment. Yeah. I've never been afraid to do that. And if you feel confident in yourself that like, hang on, this is a bit tough. And as I say, if it's something as silly as social media or something as serious as something that's happening at home, go and ask for help.
Do you think we're creating a society that makes it easier for men to ask for help? Because when I was growing up, I think that is probably the last thing I ever would have done. You know, the way I was brought up and kind of the role models that I had as men, I just needed to get on with it and do it myself and figure it out myself.
Yeah.
The last thing I would have wanted to do is actually ask for help. I'm 37 now, so we're going back 20-odd years, 25 years, from the age of 12 to kind of 17, and that period where you go from kind of boy to younger man, I think is a really formative stage of your life. And I think during that stage, my viewpoint is that I have to do this myself, I'll figure it out myself, I don't want to ask any help from you. And I'm still guilty of that, of being reluctant to ask people for help. Mm-hmm. Do you think we're creating a society now that is making it easier for men to ask for help? Because I think that's quite a common thing, that people didn't like to ask for help.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And I think that is why there's been such a huge onus on getting men to ask for help and to talk to one another.
Have you always been able to do that? Or have you kind of changed your thinking as you've got older?
My thinking has changed. I think that's a good quality for any person to have, is to be able to adapt to what's going on around you. But it's been really interesting for me, and I'm really grateful to have been part of it for some people. But through the breakfast show, when people have reached out or they've shared that they've been having a tough time and that the show has helped them in the mornings or whatever it may be, it's kind of two pronged for me, that, because I want to be there for them, and I'm so pleased that they reached out, and you know what a brave thing to do, and I love that. But the other thing is where I'm so lucky, and it's almost like a comfort blanket to it all, is that it seems not alien to me, but I've just always been very open with people, and I've got a great small but perfect circle of friends where we are always male friends as well, you know, as well as female friends, but male friends who share with one another and talk about things. And we've always been very open. And to go back to, you know, that time in your life, you're talking about standing on your own 2 feet. There is, of course, an element of that. I mean, you don't just go running around asking for help all of the time. Also, I'm not sure that's beneficial to anybody. Eventually, you're going to have to
help
do it on
me,
your
help
own.
Me,
yeah. You're going to have to do it on your own. You know, like, for example, I think a man should be able to turn up to his own podcast on time. That kind of thing. I think someone should just be able to do that simple thing. Like, you got up, you
completely.
Got to show, maybe you booked your taxi too late.
Yeah.
But, you know, you've got to manage that yourself.
It's,
you know, you can't
really
ask me, Dave, please help me. I don't know how to book a taxi early enough to make it all the way to Central London.
Dave, I'm going to be honest with you. I was half an hour late to this podcast. I'm just going to put that out there. And as I was reading through the brief, one thing I didn't know about Dave is that he's got a real thing for punctuality. So as you can imagine, the car journey, the later it got, the more anxious I was getting. But that is on me.
What I love, no, and you apologise, it's absolutely fine, I promise you. What was lovely, while I was waiting for Pete, I said, oh, the set's nice for this. And they said, oh, yeah, Pete picked out the colour for the walls. I said, wow, he found the time to pick out the colour for the walls of his own set, but he can't bother to turn up for his guests.
Yes. Well, at one point, we were going to do it via Zoom. But here we are.
To go back to what you're saying, obviously, people need to stand on their own 2 feet. They need to do things on their own. That's part of the adventure of life. That's the journey of life. But you also can't be scared to ask for help. And I've just been very fortunate that I have just a close-knit group of friends, and I have a good relationship with my family. But I'm not too proud to ask someone, you know, for help if I need it.
We're going to come on to your breakfast show and everything you've done there, because you've won so many awards for kind of your stance and mental health when it comes to the breakfast show, which I think is amazing. But before we get to kind of that point, we kind of ask everyone that comes on about their role models and influences kind of growing up. And you've got a four-way split between four. Yeah. Ian, yeah. Is it Mick and Dave? Is that
Mick and Damien?
Damien. So Ian, Mick and Damien is a four-way
lads,
split.
Lads.
Yeah, lads.
Quite the opposite.
But you've kind of highlighted them as kind of role models.
Mm.
They were some of the first people you worked with. Because similar to you, I didn't go to uni.
No.
But what impact did they have on your life and why?
There was the wanting to go to work, which I think is quite a normal thing. But looking back, one of the moments I have where I'm kind of proud of the younger version of myself is that I realised that if I went to university, I was just going to fall through the cracks. Mm. I knew that about myself. And whilst everyone, all of my friends were getting so excited about picking the university they were going to go to, and they were all inspired to want to go and learn, they were so excited about the adventure ahead. Again, I didn't ask anyone's help on that occasion. I just had to have a kind of word with myself, and it was, I know me, I'm going to get to uni, and I'm going to be the one who starts the club night.
Yeah.
And then that's going to be me.
Yep.
And I'm going to be there doing that.
Yep.
And wasting my parents' money and not seeing my family enough. And so I went to work, and Ian, partners in business and in love. They've been together for like over 40 years now, and they currently own a vintage clothes shop on a Brick Lane over in East London. And they used to own a vintage clothes shop in Greenwich, which is where I grew up. And they gave me a job because I was working at the high street retailer Next.
Yeah.
And I got a tattoo during my lunch break and started to bleed through my white uniform shirt, causing a customer to scream.
Oh,
and nearly flee.
Reaction.
It was an OTT reaction.
Yeah, yeah. Nice.
Me yelling that at them as they flee the shop, probably.
Was it a big one?
It's just, no, it's awful. It's two little Cantonese symbols.
We can't talk about bad tattoos.
No, you're fine. You kept on going.
No,
I need more. I even need to go like that or have them removed.
No.
I'm in this middle ground. I look like a chicken.
I look like a mouldy bit of broccoli when I'm holiday, mate, in a pair of swim shorts. It's not a good look.
My wife has said to me, she said, you know, you don't look too bad for your age, but when you're on holiday and you're by the pool, I can look at your tattoos and I know that you're a child of the 90s.
Yeah, there's some tribal. We've got a bit of tribal.
It's all the Chinese, right? It's awful.
Oh, nice.
Anyway, anyway, so Next parted ways with me, and Ian scooped me up. And in there, I just found the passion for clothing and for music, and the customers who would want that 1940s kind of lace blouse, and it had to be just right because that was their look.
Did
and
you
the
have
mods.
A particular interest in fashion before you worked there?
I kind of liked clothes, but I think as young really people kind of do. Yeah. But when I got there, and you would see how much time people would spend just putting the look together. Like Ian are those guys who they'll talk to you for an hour about 1950s French workwear, you know, like yeah. You know what they're talking about. And it was about the passion and the music, and then just the customers were so cool, and it was a really good crowd. And Ian kind of gave me the confidence and inspired me to start to go for auditions and things like that, because whilst that wasn't something that was ever on my agenda, there were people coming into the shop who might be buyers for something, or they might be directors or casting directors, and they would ask us, myself and the other staff, because we were just like young guys, if we'd be interested in doing it. I remember once there was an advert in the back of the big issue. They were casting a new British film, and they were looking for a young male actors aged like 17 to 20, which I was. And Ian said, you should go for this. You know, you don't have to have any acting experience. And I said, but I need to work. And he said, I'll give you your day's wages. You go to the audition instead. Important stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
And then Mick and Damien, I didn't move far when I left the Observatory. I moved to the shop next door.
Oh, nice.
And with them, you got in Damien, the big brother I never had, and in Mick, almost a second father figure. It was great fun, but it was about timekeeping, self-discipline.
I would have lasted long then.
Mick would have hated you.
Yeah, Mick would have hated me. I'll go back to Ian. Mate, sound great.
But yeah, they were all about that. And I think that at that point in my life, it's exactly what I needed. And it allowed me to have the launchpad for a life that I'm, you know, really enjoying. I've done so many things that I've loved. And I think that had I gone down the university route and just trusted in myself to get through that, I would have failed miserably.
So that's kind of four kind of strong men from different backgrounds who kind of ignited a bit of a passion in you and gave you an opportunity to kind of find your feet as a younger
man.
Yeah,
100%.
And fashion has been a massive part of your life. I mean, you are the best dressed man on radio, without a shadow of a doubt.
Thanks, but coming from you, that means a lot.
Anyone that does radio in a three-piece suit... which I think you did for a long period of time.
Yeah.
You don't do it now, though, do you?
I've been known to... The thing with that, Pete, A, it's nice to wear a suit.
Yes.
B,
I love a suit.
Back in the day when the troubles began, for me,
yeah,
putting a suit on is the easiest thing to get dressed into in the mornings.
Yeah.
Plus, what people forget is that you might go in under the cover of darkness at 5 o'clock in the morning and everyone thinks, I will just do it in a onesie.
Yep.
But, you know, soon it's going to be 10 a.m. and you're going to be out in, like, the middle of central London, one of the busiest cities on earth.
Yeah.
So you can't just be walking around in your pyjamas.
No, you can't. You can't. I completely agree with it. I mean, I love a suit, and dressing well is important. I don't think it's necessarily talked about too much as well when we talk about men, because that kind of feel good, look good type thing.
What about you, Pete? I mean, when did the kind of fashionista bug bite you?
I mean, suits has always been something I've loved as well.
Is it linked to you getting kind of notoriety and fame on the TV, or was it always a thing for you?
Always a thing. I've always kind of... cared about what I was wearing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even as a kid, you know, I wanted to pick my own. It wasn't just a case I'd just wear what mum told me. Do you know what I mean? Even as a young kid, I'd be like, no, I want to wear this. I want to wear that.
Yeah.
I mean, I started working in the city when I was 17.
Okay.
And having to wear a suit to work. And, you know, I didn't have a lot of money then. So you go to just like a high school, like Next or something, and get a nice suit.
Don't go to Next. They're awful people. You can't even get a tattoo there without getting
fired. Do you know what I mean? What an absolute liberty. But I'd go and take it to a tailor. And I'd get it tailored just so that it fits nice. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's not necessarily about the price point of what you get, but it's feeling good.
Well, that's
and having something that fits nice. And suits became a thing, and I loved them, and then it just developed from there.
That's the thing with those formative years. I would have been about 17, 18 working in the vintage clothing sector, and you find that suit, and if you know a good... It's not even got to be like a Savile Row tailor's.
No,
that's
like
not what we're talking about
cleaners.
Here.
Yeah,
we're talking about a dry cleaner's.
Yeah.
You know they know their stuff, how they can nip it out, bring this in,
bring
you know, and you
in
can get that
bit,
for like 30 quid because it's like vintage. Or you can go and do that now at a charity shop. You're doing something good and you can get something that you know nobody else is wearing. I remember, you know, the advent of a lot of those big high street shops. I don't remember the advent of that. I'm not that old.
Yeah.
But
Jesus
I remember
Christ.
You would go
you
and...
You do look well for great.
but you'd go and get like... a really lovely pair of trousers from like H&M, and then you'd go out and it'd be the other two guys you'd see
Yeah.
And they were like moss green with like a purple window pane check. It wasn't like they were just like navy blue.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, now I'm going to have to just go home.
And that's probably the same
But you don't get that with vintage clothing or, you know, charity shop
finds. Vintage clothing's incredible as well. But it's for me, if I'm feeling a little bit rough in terms of mentally, I don't feel great, getting dressed up and making an effort does have an impact on how I feel. Mm-hmm. If I feel like I look good, it puts me in a kind of a better mood. And I don't even mean it in a materialistic way. It's just about making an effort to do something for yourself.
Yeah, you're right. It will sound odd to people hearing you say that. I completely get where you're coming from. And it isn't a materialistic thing. Mm. Perhaps in a way it acts as a kind of armour, I suppose. Yeah. It's an extra layer, isn't it?
Protection.
Yeah, and it's also the process. Feel, yeah. Exactly. And it's also the process of going through that. I think if you can focus on a task and it's just putting something together that you'd quite like to wear that day or whatever, there's a process there that's quite nice as well, quite therapeutic.
The process side of things, I think that's a really good point, because giving yourself that kind of short-term buzz of feeling better about yourself just by wearing a nice outfit has always made a big difference to me. It's kind of kept you going to give me a chance to actually figure out myself, you know what I mean?
I totally hear you, Pete. You watched that, that fascinating David Beckham documentary where he's just got his week's worth of combos just all laid out on a rail. He must spend a couple of hours, just this bliss.
Yeah.
Just because he's got all the clothes in the world, just, oh, put his jeans here with that. And
yeah, that must be lovely, yeah.
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 I mean, I haven't got the luxury of doing that, but it's a nice idea.
Like you said, it's giving yourself tasks, and I think sometimes I'm quite spontaneous, but I do like a routine of doing things and getting up.
Yeah, well, spontaneity on the backdrop of a routine is the best combo.
Yeah.
I think it's like, I'm rock and roll. I like a bit of anarchy, but I've got everything paid and this has been done and
Yeah, completely. Alcohol is a big...
Yes, please.
Yes.
Oh, sorry, I thought...
Yes.
You've got a decanter of scotch there.
Yes, Pete. We have. I think it might just be apple juice. I don't think they trust me with that. Is it just apple juice?
It's real.
Oh, it's real? Oh,
I asked before you arrived.
You have fucking trusted me. That's amazing.
yes, alcohol.
Alcohol has impacted my life in a massive way. I grew up with people who are alcohol dependent and it's probably impacted who I am because I love a drink.
Yeah.
You took some time out from drinking for a little while.
Yeah, I did. I had to really. I've
consciously made the decision.
Yeah, I've long struggled with it. And again, this is, there's moments where it's important to seek help and ask for help. But this was another one of those moments where I just had to kind of take a look at myself. And what I realised was that I was kind of bullshitting myself into thinking I was getting better at it, and I wasn't. And I would try every single possible sneaky combination at just letting myself off the hook that I was drinking too much. And I did it constantly. And that would be, finish the breakfast show. Great, I've done a really good show today. Right, the bills are paid. That's that done. I'm going to go to the gym now. Right, I've had a good hour at the gym. Now I'm going to go for a walk. That's good. I've cleared my head. I've done all of my emails. I've done everything. Then bang. I can have all the wine now. Yeah. And as long as I go to bed early, I'll be fresh for the next day. And I just realised that it was a sad realisation, but it was one that needed addressing. So I just basically stopped for 7 months. Mm. And it was really difficult to do. But what I hoped I needed, which so far has proved to be the case, to use some horrible COVID terminology, I needed a circuit breaker.
Yeah.
And there was no point in me just going down to trying to have one glass of wine a day or have a beer at the weekends or whatever. Mm. I just needed to stop. And I needed to prove to myself that I could do that. Because I didn't think I would be able to. And I went through my own birthday, not that I particularly celebrate a birthday, but my wife's birthday and New Year and my daughter's birthday and Christmas. And I did the whole thing. And I was really, really pleased that I did. And I'm happier where I am with it all now, to be honest.
We were at the Brits together. And
yeah.
I heard a story at the Brits that is just, which I'm sure you've told a million times, but I just think it's the most amazing story in the world, about you missing your own breakfast show. Or was it a breakfast show that you were doing at the time?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Because you've gone...
Thanks for bringing that up, Pete.
Mate, it's no, just...
I'm kidding.
Honestly, just the best story. Because someone told me, and then I said it to you and I was like, sure, and you went, yeah.
Shall I tell the story?
Yeah, please tell the story, because it's fucking brilliant.
Will Best came running up to me and he said, is that story true? That was the first thing. Then he obviously came and told me.
Then he came and told me. It was going around the thing. You're basically just a fucking legend.
Right,
Dave.
Well,
you
yeah.
know what I mean? I mean, but it's just the best story.
Anyway, yeah, so some time ago, I took over a breakfast show on a now defunct radio station called XFM, but a legendary radio station, and I was so honoured to be asked to do the breakfast show. And I thought, well, I've got to start this big. So Liam Gallagher, and I said, Liam, would you be my first guest on my first breakfast show on XFM? And after that, it transpired the producers and everybody else would be more comfortable if we pre-recorded it.
Yeah.
So I finished my first breakfast show, which was live, and then Liam came in at 10 a.m. He was on time. he came in and we pre-recorded this interview and it was brilliant. And then we went out for a beer and then there's a couple more beers and then Liam went, but I bumped into some people and you know how it is. Yeah. And then you're just caught up in the night and the night's all a blur and it's like that Smack My Bitch Up Prodigy video and it's all just like going on. And next thing I know, I wake up and it's daylight and I'm laying in bed and it dawns on me that only my second show in, I've missed my brand new breakfast show. And I sit bolt upright and I fumble and I get my phone and I call my producer and I say, I am so, so sorry I missed the show. And he said, what are you talking about, Dave? You did the show. Yeah, so I'd woken up at breakfast show hours, gone in, hosted an entire show, come home, had a nap, woken up and forgotten I'd done the show.
That's just incredible.
Now, if that doesn't get your alarm bells ringing to have a circuit breaker, I don't know what will.
I mean, that's such an incredible story. But do you honestly, it's...
Even now, I'm feeling a bit hot just thinking about it.
Honestly, I wish I had a story like that.
I'm sure you have, Pete.
Yeah, most of mine we can't talk about. But, I mean, I've never kind of had a circuit breaker when it comes to drinking, but I did strictly last year, and during that period I didn't drink. And it really made me realise how much more clarity I had when I stopped drinking.
It's amazing,
drinking.
Isn't it?
And that's the Absolutely. Thing that I noticed the most. I started noticing more about myself.
Yeah.
I've probably used alcohol over the years for different reasons, for social reasons, for having a good time, and more than anything, and something I didn't realise that I probably did, was using it to numb how I actually felt.
Mm.
You know? Yeah. So whether that be good, bad, it was kind of to keep me on a level. So I didn't feel massive highs or massive lows. I was quite stable because I was kind of numb to a lot of what I was feeling. Mm. During Strictly, through that kind of three-month period, I didn't drink and I became really emotional. Yeah. Just that everything seemed to affect me more. Yeah. I was becoming more emotional. I think that's because I hadn't numbed myself with alcohol. Yeah. And I think a lot of people, when it comes to alcohol, assume that unless you are a raging drunk or an admittant alcoholic that you don't have a problem with alcohol.
Yeah.
And I think actually there's probably more people that do than actually realise.
So having something like Strictly, obviously one of the biggest shows on British television, it's a great focus to have, isn't it? What it takes out of you physically, mentally and emotionally. You're not going to forgive yourself if you've had a bottle of wine and you've got to go into, or two bottles of wine, you've got to go into training the next day because Saturday you're live and everyone can see you.
If you saw me dancing, you'd imagine that I was drunk.
I did see you dancing.
Yeah. I imagine people probably thought, fuck me, he's had a drink. Jesus Christ.
No, but the clarity of head is, honestly, if anybody out there listening to this now, as Pete says, you haven't got to be someone who's knocking back bottles of whiskey like some disgruntled detective in some 1980s New York, you know, movie. Yeah. But more job. Being hangover free is one of the great gifts that you can give yourself.
Oh, mate.
Honestly, you feel like you're in some Hollywood musical, like you're doing that little clicky ankle thing, walking down the street.
Yeah, on a Sunday morning when you get up and you have that coffee and you're like, God, I feel good. Yeah.
And then you think, God, I hate myself for being this guy.
And then what I do is then call my mates and go, do you feel shit? But I don't. fuck you.
Yeah. Lovely feeling.
We're going to move on to your radio show. You are very honest on your show. And I think a lot of people take a lot away from your show. You probably help a lot more people than you realise. What made you kind of go down that route and start really talking about that sort of stuff on radio?
Thank you, by the way, Pete. That's lovely of you to say. And you know, it's a team effort. It's a collective effort. And you know, for people to feel comfortable listening to your show and letting you into their homes or cars in the morning, it's almost kind of the least we can do. And there's a lot of men, you know, who listen to the show. And when it came to talking about suicide rates in men and men, you know, around 40 and, you know, those things needed to be talked about, my show seemed like a good place to talk about that because, you know, whether it was you listening to this or you had concerns about a mate or whether it was your brother or your son, whatever it may be, you know, it seemed like the right place to talk about it. And then beyond that, to be honest, the huge life-changing event that was COVID-19. And we just kind of became a little bit of a hub for people to come to. And I know that every other breakfast show host doing their thing during that time, if they were able to do it, would have experienced the same. We're certainly not unique, and I'm not saying that we were, but we were unique, I think, in the way that we, how we wanted to get into it. This is quite macabre, but I kept a lot of the messages that we got, and I screen grabbed a lot of the DMs and stuff like that, because we were working from home, obviously I didn't have the studio in front of me. And they're so important to me as a thing. Obviously, I've never shared them publicly, but I was so grateful for them, and I replied to them all. And as I say, it is quite macabre, but there's something, a thought in the back of my head about showing them to my daughter when she's older. And it's almost like, see, Dad didn't just dick about for a living, which is what she's going to probably think when she watches me back on anything.
No, she'll go, tell me the Liam Gallagher story again, Dad.
It's a lovely thing to have. And sorry, just to very quickly finish up there, I have to say the same is in reverse, because I'm trying to do a kind of entertainment music breakfast show.
Yeah.
And there are times when there's stuff going on that isn't worth really talking about on air, but it's getting to me. And they deliver every single morning. I'll ask the stupidest thing and they will deliver, or something will happen to me in life and it's your turn to tell me if it's happened to you, and they just cheer me every morning.
You've created an amazing community of people.
Well, that's right.
And that's a really beautiful thing to have, like a kind of a little family, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, even with my other podcast name, we've got people set up WhatsApp groups between themselves. You know,
it's
people
beautiful.
That listen to the show and meet each other at the tour. And it's just a really lovely
thing
that everyone's kind of part of that. Dave, thank you for coming on.
Pete, I've loved
it. I genuinely really appreciate it. I apologise for my lateness, but you have more than made up for that with some really amazing things that you've said. And like I said, I consider you a role model as well. I think you're a great man.
Pete, I love spending time in your company. And likewise, I just wanted to say well done on putting this podcast together. It's a fabulous idea and I'm thrilled to be part of it. So well done to you and the team.
Thanks for listening to Man Made. Make sure you subscribe and follow us on @ManMadePod on Instagram, TikTok and YouTube. Keep the conversation going in the comments. We want to hear from you and kind of what you think and your thoughts. Hope you enjoyed it.